So, you know, we're catching up because of all the bad weather we've had, so we're having another teaching tonight. This is Lesson 10, the Spiritual Inventory, Part 1. So I'm going to pray. You ready? Lord, we thank you for this night. We thank you for the people that are here. Lord, I pray that you teach us how important this is to take an inventory, not only when we're in step study, but every day. To come before you and just wait for you to show us what we need to change in our lives. Lord, I pray that you open our hearts, give me the words to speak, that what you would have us to know and hear would be, if we'd be done tonight. May you be honored in everything we do. Amen. All right, so I'm going to start telling you a little story. This happened today about 3 hours ago. So some of you may know I'm a nurse practitioner. I got to the nursing home this morning, and this gentleman wasn't doing well. He's pretty sick. He was having trouble breathing. So I put in all the orders for the morphine and the Ativan to calm him down. Got that taken care of. Got him calm. It was obvious to me that he was not going to make it very long. So I asked for somebody to go. Is there anybody who can sit by this man while he dies? So nobody should die alone. His family wasn't there. In fact, he has no family that comes to see him. So they didn't have anybody. I was in a hurry. I had meetings to go to and other places to be. I decided one more time to walk down the hall because he was stable the last time I talked to him, so it could have been days. Before I left, I decided to go back to his room, and I walked in, and he's doing agonal breathing. He's gasping, and he's dying. I turned. I was like, okay. His eyes are kind of rolled back. I'm turned to walk out of the room, and I heard the Lord say to me, go back and pray for that man. When you hear, you just do that. So I went back by his bed. I had no idea if he could hear me. His oxygen level was very low, and that can be sedative, so who knows. So I stood by his bed, put my hand by his head, and I leaned over, and I said, Jesus loves you, and he died for you. And the tears began to run out of his eyes. So I stood there and I prayed for him, the sinner's prayer, and I talked to him. I told him how much Jesus loved him, how he died for him, and that he could just rest and he'd see Jesus in glory. He gradually just passed away right there. He quit struggling and he died. I've seen a lot of people die. I used to work in the ICU. It's hard. It never gets easy. So why am I telling you that? Because you're here for a reason. Your hearts are dying. This is that place where you get a chance to do your inventory. This is that chance where God speaks to your heart. And he says, I want you to go back. Go back. And he's standing there talking to you. I love you. We don't get to recovery until we know who our higher power is. You only know your higher power when you know he loves you. He cares about you. You make a difference here on this earth to the people you come in contact with, and your life is important, and he loves you. So as we walk through this inventory, I want you to think about Jesus standing next to you saying, you're worth it. It's hard. It's painful. I hated it. I'll be honest with you. I didn't like doing this. I put it off till I couldn't do it anymore. But it was worth it. It was absolutely worth as difficult as it could be. So just think about yourself putting those papers down and walking away again and the Lord just speaking in your ear, go back. Because your soul, your heart is dying. Go back and do the hard work. So this lesson is the first of two that talks about the spiritual evaluation that Rick Warren developed. Principle four is where we come clean, where you openly examine your life and you confess your faults to God and to someone that you trust. I'm going to read principle four. Openly examine and confess my faults to God, to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. Happy are the pure in heart. Matthew 5:8. Step four, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Searching and fearless. It's easy to be afraid, just to deny that that happened. But when you're fearless, you say, that's just the way it is. Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. Lamentations 3:40. Most of us don't like to look within ourselves for the same reason we don't like to open a letter that we know has bad news. But remember what we talked about in Lesson 9 last week when Karen talked to you? You need to keep your evaluation or your inventory balanced. You need to talk about not only the bad things you've done, and I'm sure we all can remember a lot of those. You got to talk about the good things as well, because there is good. There's good in all of us. We just need to recognize what that good is and give yourself credit for it. God's word tells us in Psalms 139:23-24, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test my thoughts, point out anything you find in me that makes you sad, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. I want to drop in another scripture in Psalms. It's in Psalms 50. Restore to me the joy of my salvation and make me willing to obey you. That's one I have to sit and pray a lot because I'm not very willing. I'm pretty stubborn. I'm getting better. Do you know everyone has three different characteristics? We have the character, or three different characters. We have the character we exhibit. We have the character that we think we have, and then we have the character that we truly have. So we have to dig deep and let God show us how to discern those. No doubt each one of you has good qualities and bad, so tonight we're going to talk about the bad. Some of our character shortcomings and sins that can block us from receiving all the joy that God has intended for us to have. We will work on our four areas of our character tonight and four more in our next session next week. This is going to help you get your inventory started. The first section is relationship with others. In Matthew 6:12-14, Jesus tells us to pray, forgive us our sins, just as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. Don't bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Ask yourself the following questions regarding your relationships with others. Who has hurt you? That's a long list. When I did my inventory, oh, by the way, I didn't tell you who it was, did I? I'll back up. Now I remembered. So I'm Catherine, a grateful believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm in recovery for the effects of domestic violence. Yay. Just a little late, but you got it. So who has hurt me? All the people that abused me in my life. When I did my inventory and wrote my testimony, I realized that that was everyone I had ever known in my life. It was all the way back from the time I was a child. So when I wrote my inventory, I printed off all those pages. 75 pages I filled out. It was a lot. It was a lot. When you fill them out, be thorough. Don't sit there and group it all together. Break it down. Take it one piece at a time. I had probably 40 pages just on my ex-husband. Yeah. But it was so freeing to be able to write that down and say, this is what happened, this is my part. If I had a part, remember, in abuse, that's not my fault. I didn't ask to be abused. I'm not responsible for his behavior. That was the most freeing thing, was to say, I didn't do that. So write it down, separate it out. Against whom have you been holding a grudge? If you hold a grudge and you nurse it, it's not going to get any better. It just gets worse and worse. It's like a sore that festers. Number three, against whom are you still seeking revenge? For those of you who've been in a step study, you know this is the questions that you go through as you begin to prepare your inventory. It's those questions you ask. Seeking revenge is like biting a dog because that dog bit you. It really doesn't help you. It doesn't help you at all. Are you jealous of someone? In the Song of Solomon 8:6, jealousy is said to be an unyielding as the grave. It burns like a blazing fire, and it's so destructive. I'm sure y'all have seen that. It is bad. Have you tried to justify your bad attitude by saying it's their fault? It's like blaming somebody else because we can't face our egos or our pride or the pain in our heart won't allow us to face what's happened and what we've done. And it also keeps us from facing the problem itself. Hosea 4:4 says, don't point your finger at someone else and try to pass the blame. The people that you name in all these five questions go in the first column of the Celebrate Recovery Principle 4 Inventory Worksheet in the second participant's guide. Next question is, who have you hurt? And how did you hurt them? Was it intentional? Unintentional? We want to be honest. Who have you been critical of or gossiped about? It isn't difficult to make a mountain out of a molehill. It just takes a little dirt. Gossip's just a little dirt. It's talking about people. It's not giving grace. It's being mean or destructive or destroying their character. Saying, oh, I want to tell you this so you can pray for them. That's gossip. That is gossip. It's amazing how the tongue can destroy us. It destroys us, it destroys other people, it destroys relationships. James 1:26 tells us to keep a tight rein on our tongue. The people that you name in these last two questions go in column 5 of the Principle 4 Inventory Workshop. This next section looks at what's important to you, priorities in life. We do what's important to us. Others see our priorities by our actions, not by our words. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one. You know, I'd rather my life show you what I believe than just my words telling you what I believe. What are the priorities in your life? Matthew 6:33 tells us what will happen if we make God our number one priority. He will give to you if you give him first place in your life and live as he wants you to live. How are you living? Are you living to satisfy yourself? I had a choice today. I could have walked out of that room. There was nobody there. Nobody could see him dying. Nobody could see me hitting that door with a meeting and other patients to see and a dozen other things to do. That was a choice I made. I'm glad I made that choice, but it broke my heart. After making the decision to turn your life and your will over to God, in what areas of your life are you still not putting God first? What closet are you not letting him enter and clean out? What thoughts do you think during the day? Where does your mind go when you've had a bad day or you've gotten bad news? Do your thoughts go to Jesus? Do your thoughts say, it doesn't matter where I am, what I'm doing. You'll take care of me. So this is kind of random and it's out there, and I'll just tell you. So before I went into that room, I got notified by my attorney that I have an arrest warrant out for my laughing. Contempt of court. It's a long story. It's a long story. So they're going to arrest me, I guess. So I had a choice to make. I could have walked out of the building because it's my choice. I write my schedule. I make my choices. Nobody tells me what to do in my job. I make it. I could have walked out of there. I could have pouted the rest of the day away. I could have been pissed off and tired and angry and said, I'll deal with everybody else tomorrow. But I went back and I stayed and I did what was right because I know that no matter what happens in my life, God takes care of me. Amen. Amen. That's right. What in your past is interfering with your doing God's will? Is it your ambition, your pride, your pleasure? Are you a fun junkie? You like to do fun stuff? Pleasure's okay. Having fun's okay. Proverbs 21:17 warns you, though, he who loves pleasure will become poor. Jesus will teach us how to live a holy life. Being with you will fill me with joy. At your right hand, I will find pleasure forever. When we find our pleasure in the Lord, we enjoy our life that much more. Having fun, there's nothing wrong with having fun. But when that's your God, that's your priority, that's all you want to do, it becomes a problem. What have been your priorities in your job? Friendships, personal goals. Were they just self-centered, self-serving, selfish? You got to be careful here, those of you that are codependent, because it gets real condemning when you read some of this. You have to take care of yourself. You can't always look to take care of other people. They got to take care of themselves too. But there has to be a responsible balance. So think about that as you read this. Taking care of yourself is not selfish. But when all you think about is yourself, it is. You know, that's hard to kind of understand. Who did your priorities affect? You know, you may never get rich. You may never be able to afford the things that you want. Can you afford to lose friendships, moments in time that pass away? I left there today thinking, because I told this man, relax, just breathe easy. Jesus will meet you in paradise. You're going to see him in heaven. Let go. And I wonder, because I don't know him. I really don't know this person or his family. I've only seen him a few weeks. It's all I've had time to take care of him. Did I make a difference in his life? Did he accept Jesus? I have no idea, but he had the opportunity. So who do your priorities affect? Your family, your children, the people you work with? What was good about your priorities? What's wrong with them? Next, we're going to look at our attitudes. Ephesians 4:31, get rid of all bitterness, passion, and anger. No more shouting or insults. No more hateful feelings of any sort. That's Ephesians 4:31. Do you always try to have an attitude of gratitude, or do you find yourself always complaining about your circumstances? Do you complain about what happens to you in life? Do you make an effort to change the situation that you're in? Do you pray and trust God to order your steps, to plan where you go, to make sure you're where you need to be when you're there? Do you trust God to lead you? Walking with God every day is absolutely amazing. When you order your priorities, when you get to that place where God leads you every day, and you know that you are listening to what God has to say and you're where you need to be, it's amazing. It's amazing. You walk down the hall for the last time when you want to go out the front door. You do that, and you get to be that person who ushers this person into eternity. You get that opportunity, that little valuable piece that you'll never forget as you tell somebody who's dying, Jesus loves you, and the tears flow out of their eyes. That's something I won't forget. Let God lead you every day. In what areas of your life are you ungrateful? If we can't be grateful for the bad things in our lives that we've received, we can at least be thankful for what we've escaped. So I told you I was in trouble. I've faced some of the most ridiculous things over the past 4 years. It's a long story. But I finally, a month ago, got to the place that I could say, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for where I've been, where you've brought me, what you've taught me. And thank you for each of these experiences because I've changed. See, a month ago, I got bad news. It was bad. This is a little worse, but it was bad. And I sat down on the floor and I wanted to die. Many times I've wanted to die. Many. For the past 15 years, every day, I thought about dying. I tried once before. God stopped me that time. This day, he didn't. I was there, ready to take my life. I'm not crazy. I knew exactly what I was doing. I knew exactly how I was going to do it. And it was as if God just was there, peacefully talking to me. Just waiting for me to make a choice. See, you've got a choice. That's what you don't understand. You've got so many choices to make, and God honors every choice you make. So whether you're standing there with a cigarette, a drink, a drug you're going to shoot up your arm, something you're going to snort up your nose, or a knife you're going to slit your throat, God lets you make that choice. He loves you. He loves you enough to make the choice to go to hell or to go to heaven. He loves you that much. When you surrender your will to his and let him be a priority in your life, he can use you. So that day, I surrendered my will to make the decision that I would die or take my life. It was an amazing day of freedom. 15 years of wanting to die every day was gone. God is good. God is good. So what areas are you ungrateful for? We have to learn to be grateful for the pain in our life. We have to learn to be thankful for the hardships we've had and the place that God takes us. Do you get angry easily? Do you blow up at other people? Are you sarcastic? Trying to hide mean things with funny jokes? It's really not nice. What in your past is still causing you fear or anxiety? Fear imprisons us. Faith liberates us. Fear paralyzes us. Faith empowers us. Fear brings a feeling of hopelessness. Proverbs tells us that when we're hopeless, we're sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. When you get to that place of absolute nothing is going to get better, nothing's ever going to change, we're hopeless. The rest of that verse says that a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. Faith in Jesus Christ will allow you to face your past fears, and with faith you can be free of fear's chains. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear." Fear has to do with punishment and torment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "God has not given me a spirit of fear." What is fear? It's a spirit. But God has given me a spirit of power and love and of a sound mind. That's the spirit you have to walk through this life with you. Power, love, and a sound mind. What's that mean? What's the spirit of power? It's the power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the power to change your life and your circumstances. It's the power to walk with you through the darkest hour and see you through to victory. The next section is your integrity. Colossians 3:9. Do not lie to each other. You have left your old sinful life and the things you did before. In what past dealings were you dishonest? An honest man alters his ideas to fit the truth, but a dishonest man alters the truth to fit his ideas. Have you stolen anything? Anything at all? Taking that paperclip from work, lying about your mileage on your, you know, to your boss, how many miles you drove. It's not about the paperclips. It's not about the paper. It's not about the candy bar you lifted. It's about your character and who you are, and can you be trusted? Have you exaggerated yourself? Have you exaggerated about yourself to make yourself look better? There's no degree of honesty. You either are honest or you're not. In what areas of your past have you used false humility? Did you know that humility is never gained by seeking it? To think we have it is sure proof that we don't. Have you pretended to live one way in front of your Christian friends and another way at home or at work? Do you live a double life? Are you a Sunday Christian or a seven-day full-time follower of Jesus Christ? Do you try to practice the 8 principles 7 days a week or just when you come here to celebrate recovery? A lot of questions, a lot of hard things to think about. That's the first part of the inventory, and it's difficult. It's hard to hear. It's hard to work through. Remember, you're worth it. In Isaiah 1:18, God says, "No matter how deep the stain of your sin, I can take it out and make you as clean as freshly fallen snow." Keep your inventory balanced. It's really, really important. I had a hard time with that. I had a really hard time with that. But it is important. You want to see yourself in an honest light, and just putting the spotlight on everything bad is not honest. You do have good qualities. God created you in His image, and there is so much value. You are worth so much to God. It's just a process of discovering what that is. That's it. I'm going to pray. We're done. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time to be together. I thank you, Lord God, for this teaching. I thank you, Lord God, that no matter how hard it is to hear, that you, Holy Spirit, guide us through this, open our hearts up to the truth, and give us the ability to honestly look deeply in our own hearts and lives, that we may walk through these 12 steps into freedom and know who you created us to be and live free. Amen. Thanks.